I'll read a couple chapters this morning. Or part of a couple. I have a couple I want to read. Ephesians, part of Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 1 to 17. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immortality and any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immortal or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So that was kind of my thought this morning, was about light. Jesus came into this world as a light, and he's our example and our light. That he shines. And I wrote a few things down here. Mark. In Mark 12, 29-31, it talks about where Jesus said that loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength is the greatest commandment. So this allows God's light to shine clearly. We are to be a reflection of the real light in our life. In John 8, it talks about the light also, or he makes us free. If the Son therefore makes us free, you are free indeed. Freedom from selfishness is an attractive light if we're not selfish and humble ourselves, like it says in James 4, God resists the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. So I think that's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be humble. And I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 9. For God has not detained us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that rather we are asleep, or awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encouraging one another and build one another, just as you also are doing. So that's a good question there. Are we doing that? Are we building each other up? Now, I think that's our desire, that we would build each other up. In verse 12 it says, but we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterance, but examine everything carefully, steadfast, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I think that's why we are here, I believe, or that's one reason we meet or live for the Lord, is because of this moment that when he is coming again. He can come for like individuals, or I think that's also the coming of the Lord, when somebody, when the body dies and the spirit goes back to God. But I think he was more talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus, like when the Lord comes in the last day here. So my desire is to be ready when he comes, regardless how it is or when it is. The Lord is, we experience that very vividly, that we have here an abiding city. We won't stay here. We're going to someday again meet the Lord, you know, meet our Maker. We had that experience with our son, or this past week our neighbor out here went left. He was 92, a good ripe old age, but our son was still pretty young when he left. And some of those things are kind of hard, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord has a way to, how would you say, to draw me towards Him by the things He does and by the things we go through at times. It's, you know, it's life is hard, but it's still good, because the Lord is good. He's faithful and He's true. So I guess that's all I have. If anyone has anything you want to say, or any thoughts or corrections.
Amen, Brother Joe. I don't think we could say anything. Paul is very explicit and clear. Pray without ceasing, rejoice always, and everything give thanks. It's so simple. It's just commandments for us. Commandments for us to obey. And thank you for reading that in Ephesians. There's one comment on death. Maybe someone would add on this, but Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground, it can't abide. But when it... Okay, how does it go? Unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And Paul, who wrote this, said, well, Thessalonians, but then in 2 Timothy, his last letter, he did say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And hence there's laid up for me a crown of glory. And not only me, but all those who keep the faith. And that's our goal. We want to follow. What did one of the early Christians say? Justin Martyr. Though you can kill me. Go ahead, finish it. Anyone know? Though you can kill me, you can't hurt me. What a great line. Though you can kill me, you can't hurt me. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thanks for reading that, Brother Joe. Very edifying. I had some parallel Bibles open when you were reading there in Ephesians, and it's interesting how they select different words. I think in different places in Scripture you can find light and spirit being interchanged. There in verse 9 of Ephesians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Whereas some other translators choose the word light. The light is of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I think it'd probably be a hard one to decide as a translator, just because there's so much about that. I don't have much time to think this out, but I think and believe, like, the things that happened, the Spirit came and it did certain things. I think sometimes it would refer to it as the light shone forth and it revealed certain things. Like when Paul was struck down, it says a great light struck him down. Well, it was also the Spirit, I'm sure. You know, it would be right to say the Spirit struck him down, because the Lord is a Spirit. But He also is so much a light that there's not much to distinguish there. It's just the one is about similar to the other. I think I was trying to find that passage where it says that we are to walk in the light. And I think Joe read it, but I don't quite know. Yeah, is that where it is? I think that verse might have the word Spirit in it as well. I think John is one that uses the word light and spirit quite interchangeably like that. Anyhow, it'd be a nice little study to do. But I find that interesting. He is the light that reveals himself, you know, and he is the light that reveals dark places for us. And then, like Joe was reading, how that we are not to have fellowship with those dark things. So that's some of my thoughts. God bless you all.